Evening. Welcome to our Sunday evening service here at Madison Baptist Church. It is good to see you in your place here this evening. Thank you for being here. And of course, we do have a special evening this evening. We have the ordination service for Brother Pritchett, Pastor Pritchett now. And we are excited about that, excited about the opportunity to ordain him into the ministry. And he has been a blessing around here, and we are sad to see him go. But at the same time, we're excited to see what God will do with him. And I'm glad that you are here to be a part of it and to join us tonight. That's certainly a blessing, and we thank you for that. I want to welcome you to the service, and we are going to get right into it because we do have a lot that we want to cover, and we don't want to keep you too long here this evening. But we are going to begin with a choir special. And so our choir at this time will sing, and right after that, we'll have a congregational.
Thank you. take your hymnals, please, to number 410. 410, let's stand as we sing hymn number 410, Faith is the Victory.
Standing, we're going to open up in a word of prayer. It's a privilege to have with us as one of our guests here tonight, Pastor Fred Weiss, the former pastor here at Madison Baptist Church, and of course, the Pritchett's former pastor. And so I'm going to ask my brother Fred to come on up here, and if you would, give us greetings from your church, and pray over this service, if you would, please.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. Good to see you.
Amen.
I know a number of people have been ordained in this church, including that guy right here.
That's right, yes.
And it is a privilege for this church to be able to do that. I just want you to think about that for a minute. And I can't go over all the names, but obviously Josh Rivers, Mike Weiss, Nathan Kowak, Jeff Shergalis. There have been a number of people that have been ordained through this church. Troy Middleton actually was ordained through the church, but the ordination took place down in Broadhead. So anyway, a lot of guys have come through here, and the Lord has used this church in a wonderful way to train men for ministry. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. So I'm excited and glad to be here, honored to be a part of it. And Brother Pritchett, I'm proud of you wherever you are. I don't know, where did he go? He's hiding way in the back. That's not the place for you anyway. Pretty soon the place for you will be up here. So anyway, we're glad to be able to do this. Thanks for letting me participate. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we want to thank you for all that you have done. We know that it's not necessarily the church itself, the people, or the pastors that have come through here that have been allowed to. We just get to participate in what you're doing. Lord, you call men into ministry. You answer prayer, and you're calling forth laborers into your harvest, and we thank you for that. Just thank you for this church's ability to be able to do that, and Lord, just the blessing that we have been able for years as a church to participate. And I thank you, Lord, that heritage continues, that you've used Pastor Mike Mike, to be able to continue to do the things that have needed to be done here in this city, in the city of Madison. It's really a miracle that so many guys can come through this place and continue to train for ministry, and you're allowing that work to continue. Now, Lord, would you bless this service, bless these people, continue to bless this church. Have your hand upon the Pritchetts and bless David and Becky and their family as, Lord, you are calling them as a couple, because I know at this time they're one flesh because they're still here on earth. And Lord, you've got things for Becky to do. You've got things for David to do. And what a blessing it is for us to all be able to be a part of it. Now, please bless this night, this service, and specifically this ordination. Now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Sure appreciate that. It's a blessing to have him with us, as well as Pastor Chris, also from Bible Baptist in Reedsburg. It's a blessing to have him also. And he was ordained here also. I thought about that. And it's certainly a blessing to be able to do this again. But the next item on our list of things to do is to introduce the candidate for ordination and his spouse. And so we won't make you get up from where you are, Becky, but we'll introduce them. Obviously, Brother David Pritchett and then his wife, Rebecca, and their children. And I imagine they're probably scattered throughout the auditorium is the way I figured it would be. But Charlotte, and then Jairus and Hope. And we are excited to be able to ordain Pastor Pritchett into the ministry. But at this time, what I'm going to ask Brother Pritchett to do, if you would, Brother, you come at this time, and I'm going to ask him to share his testimony. And Brother, what I'm going to ask you to do is share your testimony of salvation and then call into the ministry. And if you would do that, and then when you are done with that, if you would then go ahead, and you can just go ahead and be back by your family there. But you come on, Brother. We love you. We're proud of you. We're glad to have you. And if you would share with these people your testimony.
Yes, sir. So I was with Pastor this morning, and I said to him, he said, keep it to a certain time limit. And I said, well, I'm a Baptist pastor now. There's no way you can keep it less than 5, 10, right, 15, exactly. 45 minutes. So what I did was I'll just read what I have here this evening for you. All right, that should keep everything concise and straight to the point. When I was about 9, 10 years old, about fourth, fifth grade, I remember being in the Christian school chapel, and the principal of the Christian school spoke on the topic of hell. I don't remember if hell was the subject of the message or if it was briefly spoken of. Either way, I remember hearing that if my sins weren't forgiven by Jesus Christ, that when I died, I would end up in hell. That thought stuck with me all that day, and that night as I laid in my bed, I couldn't stop thinking about if I died in my sleep, I wasn't going to heaven. So I got out of my bed and I went to the kitchen where my dad was preparing for the next day. He, being in the military, he had his briefcase out, he had all his papers out, just kind of getting things situated for the day. And I went to him and I said, Dad, I don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven. I think I said, 9, 10-year-old, if I die tonight, I'm not going to go to heaven. And so Dad, he graciously and kindly and lovingly grabbed his New Testament and reminded me of scripture that I had already heard. I had heard before. He told me that I could call on Jesus to save me and he'd forgive all my sins. That night I bowed my head and asked Jesus to save me. I was baptized not long after that. However, as time went by, I began to have doubts about my salvation. I went through high school at the Christian school and even a couple years of Bible college before on the final Sunday of February in 2006, I got the assurance of my salvation, and that same night I was baptized again, and I have not doubted my salvation ever since.
Amen.
As in regards to my call to ministry, I don't have a specific date or time in mind, I just remember it was in a Sunday evening service that God called me to preach. I was elementary school age, and we had a missionary from Nigeria, West Africa, come and preach. I can, if you ask me his name, I could give that to you today. But he preached at the church my family and I had been attending. I don't remember what he preached, but I do recall him saying, just as most missionaries do, we need more missionaries. We need more laborers in the harvest. And I recall him saying that more missionaries were needed to go to the mission field. I wondered if the Lord would have me go to Nigeria. But regardless, whether it was Nigeria or somewhere else, I could tell the Lord was calling me to serve him and be a preacher. So that night I surrendered my life. In fact, I surrendered my life to the Lord, the call to preach. And later I found out that my dad told me that he knew that God was calling one of his sons to preach. I yielded to the Lord, I yielded to the call of God to preach, and although I was unsure of what that capacity it would be in, I was willing to serve God wherever. I went to Bible college and I chose missions as my major, thinking that God would lead me in that direction. Although I did not complete my formal training at Bible college, the Lord has allowed me to get a 3-year Bible college degree from Faith Bible Institute and blessed me with the wonderful privilege of further hands-on experience and training while serving here as the assistant to the pastor for the last 9.5 years. I know the Lord has called me to preach, and with being here, I've had plenty of opportunities to do so, and I thank Pastor for that, and thank Pastor Fred, because he somehow allowed me to preach here as well, and even be able to teach in different classes. But I thank you, Pastor and Pastor Fred, for that opportunity, and I count it a privilege to have the training that I've had, and I've learned from so many of you as well, and I do want to say thank you for that. But I believe that the Lord has moved us to where we are now, and looking forward to what the Lord would have for Waunakee Baptist Church in the days ahead. So I'd ask you would pray for us, pray for our family, obviously, pray for the folks of Waunakee Baptist Church. It's good to see a few folks here this evening. I'm so glad you're able to be here. But again, thank you, Madison Baptist Church. It's been a blessing to be able to serve here alongside of many of you, and we'll be praying for you as well. But thank you so much, and thank you, Pastor, for the time.
Thank you, Brother Pritchard. I appreciate that very much. One of the things that is important to me, and I believe it is to those who love God's Word, is that we would, as much as possible, I know we don't always do a great job of it, but try to follow biblical principles in what we do and how we function as a church. And in the book of Acts, chapter number 13, the Bible tells us that there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And then verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, so in other words, the Holy Ghost said it to the church, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. We see in that passage of Scripture that God's pattern for ordination is not that necessarily a group of pastors would get together and decide whether or not an individual is a worthy candidate for ordination, but rather that God would touch the heart of a local church and the people of a local church, and that local church would recognize God's hand on somebody, and then that they would be sent out from that local church. And here in Acts chapter 13, as they were sent out by the local church, the Word of God then says that they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. So it's obviously God's method of, through his church, sending those out. And so with that, that's the way we've handled this ordination. We've handled ordinations in the past as well, is that not necessarily that there wouldn't be other pastors involved, but that primarily it would be the local church or Madison Baptist Church that would be doing that when it is one of our own. And so along those lines, on Friday night, the deacons and I met with Brother Pritchett, and we grilled him for a long time, all right? We went over, he provided a detailed doctrinal statement for us, and we went over that line by line with him and brought up any questions that we had about that, had him clarify a few points and a few things like that, made sure that he was doctrinally sound. We have obviously known him for a long time. He's worked here for almost 10 years now as the assistant to the pastor. So we've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, Brother Pritchett. But it's been mostly good, brother, mostly good. Any of the ugly was your pastor, all right? But we've seen him, we've known him, and all of that. But one of the things that we wanted to do was be able to make sure that, especially on the major doctrinal points, that he would be sound and obviously in agreement with what we believe the Word of God teaches. And so we came out at the end of that, on the other side of that, in confidence that he is doctrinally sound, and that as a church, we can with confidence send him out with our blessing for him to be a pastor and to work in the ministry. And so with that, let me read just a brief statement that I wrote up that would be basically a statement from the deacon board. And it says, upon careful examination of Brother David Pritchett, his salvation testimony, his call to ministry and doctrinal soundness, the Deacon Board of Madison Baptist Church does hereby recommend to the church that Brother David Pritchett be ordained to the gospel ministry. And so I'd like to formally make that suggestion to you as the head of the deacon board. And it is not something that we, the deacon board, decide. That is a church decision. But that is our recommendation to you. And so I am looking for, if there would be a motion to ordain Brother David Pritchett into ministry. Could I have a motion on that? Brother Chuck Dewey makes that motion. Brother Peter Kutsky seconds that motion. And is there any discussion about that before we do that? Obviously, this is for members of Madison Baptist Church, but any discussion at all that you would have or problems there too? All right, very good. All in favor of ordaining Brother David Pritchett into the gospel ministry, signify by saying aye. And opposed, like sign. All right, very good. So that is done. We'll certainly do some other things in that regard as we go a little bit further along. But before we go any further along, I would like to speak for just a few moments to Brother Pritchett and give him a challenge from God's Word. And you all get to be a part of that. All right, so I'm going to bring out all of the dirty laundry of 10 years of complaints and suggestions. All right, no, we're not going to do that at all. But I do want to share with him some thoughts from God's Word. And I did have an opportunity this morning at Wanakee Baptist to do the same, or this afternoon, but I'm really excited about being able to do that in our church this evening. And again, all of you get to be a part of it as well. Acts chapter number 1 is where I'd like you to turn in your Bibles. And Brother Pritchett, again, this is another situation just like with the service this afternoon where I had an opportunity to speak with you about what God had laid on my heart. This one is another one where I had a completely different passage of Scripture, but this is in our Scripture reading for the week. Acts chapter 1 was one of the Scriptures that we read, and the Lord laid on my heart that this is exactly what I needed to share with you. And so Acts chapter number 1, we'll turn there, we'll look at verse number 1, and of course, this is written by God. We hopefully understand that, have that down. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But at the same time, God did use human authors to be those pens to write these things down. And in the case of the book of Acts, it is the physician, Luke. He's the one who's writing this down, and God is inspiring him to do that. And of course, he wrote the gospel according to Luke as well. So he references that former treatise or that former work, that former letter that he had written about the life and ministry of Christ. And as he begins the writing of the book of Acts, he references that and talks about some of the things that went on before what we think about as the Acts of the Apostles. So let's look at what he says here in Acts chapter number 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Let's ask God for his help as I give this charge to Brother Pritchett. Heavenly Father, I do ask for your help. Father, thank you for the wonderful opportunity to stand behind this pulpit and to proclaim your word at any time, but Lord, especially this wonderful occasion as we ordain Brother Pritchett into gospel ministry. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity now to give a charge to him, a challenge to him. Lord, I pray that you would enable me to do so with power and authority, not of my own, but of yours, that your word would speak to him, Lord, I pray, and that it would speak to all of us. Lord, do the work that only you can do, and I pray that you would make this message something that would stick with him for all of his ministry. Lord, wherever it is biblical, wherever it is right, let it stick with him. And if I say anything amiss, anything that's out of line, Lord, please, number one, would you forgive me? But number two, would you even help it to just not even enter his mind, I pray. Lord, I lay all of this at your feet, and I thank you for the opportunity again. Use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I would point out to you, Brother Pritchett, a couple of things in this passage of Scripture and to all of us. What a wonderful opportunity that was for the apostles to see the risen Christ. And of course, he had been with them. He had walked with them for about 3.5 years or so, and they had been disappointed when they saw him crucified and buried. And they, of course, when they saw him that very first day of the week after his crucifixion, that day of his resurrection, they were just, I can imagine, just excited. The Bible says that they were glad when they saw the Lord. But it didn't stop there. He didn't just see them one time after his resurrection. He saw them several times. And I cannot help but think to myself, what a wonderful time that would have been. I believe that would have been a time that for the rest of their lives, they would have looked back on that time. Peter and James and John and Matthew and the rest of them, as they looked back, they would have just reveled in that time when they were able to spend time with the risen Christ and hear him. The Bible tells us here, according to, again, Luke, as he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that through Christ's ministry after his resurrection, the apostles had received commandments from him. That's what it says. It says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles. Boy, I wonder what that sounded like. And of course, we know what those commandments were. We may not have every single one of them as far as in order and listed out in one particular place, but we have the writings of the apostles that God allowed to be in our Bibles, and we know exactly what God inspired and shared with us through them, and that's certainly a blessing. But imagine what that would have been like for them just to hear him. And I would be interested to hear what that sounded like as he gave them commandments. Those were things that he told them. Listen, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to conduct yourself here, and this is how your church services, your worship services should be. This is how you need to share the good news of my death, burial, and resurrection for the sins of mankind. I would have loved to have heard that from his voice. But they had that wonderful opportunity. They also had the opportunity to see many infallible proofs. It says in verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. We know of a few of those. We read of the fact that as he saw them that first Sunday evening, that he showed them his hands and his side, and even allowed Thomas to put his hand in his side and reach his finger and touch the nail print in his hands and all of that. And I know that was one of them, but there were others. The Bible says there were many infallible proofs that he really was the resurrected Christ. What would that have been like? What a wonderful opportunity. Again, I can imagine as many of those apostles suffered and died later on in their life, and some of them sat in jail cells, and some of them were tortured, and other things like that. And Peter, by tradition, we believe that perhaps he was crucified upside down. And I wonder if those infallible proofs came to their mind. That I know I'm serving the risen Christ. He really did rise. What a wonderful opportunity they had. And they had learned also many things from him regarding the kingdom of God. That's what it says at the end of verse 3, where it says, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus explained the kingdom of God to them. I would have loved to have been there and have heard that. Well, they had that wonderful opportunity. But I want you to notice that that was not enough. Jesus did not, with those things, then send them out and say, okay, guys, listen, you've been with me these 3.5 years, and now that I'm risen, you've heard me, I've given you commandments, you've seen the infallible proofs, you've heard me talk about the kingdom, now go get them. That's not what Jesus said. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. There was something they needed to wait for. Now, that coming was the coming of the Holy Spirit, what we would call the day of Pentecost. But I would have you notice, keeping your place in Acts 1, look with me over at John chapter number 20. I want you to notice it wasn't as if they did not have the Holy Ghost. It's not as if he was a stranger to them. John chapter number 20, look with me, if you would, at verse 21. This is before that time in Acts chapter number 1. It says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." They had received the Holy Ghost at that time as he breathed on them. And he said to them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. They had the Holy Ghost. But there was a special promise of the Father that they were waiting for. We don't have the time to look at it, but Joel chapter number 2 gives us that a reference, an Old Testament reference of what would happen on the day of Pentecost as the prophet Joel, being inspired by God to do so, prophesied of the fact that in the last days, the Spirit of God would come upon all flesh. That's what they were to wait for. And it had been promised by Jesus days before in the upper room when he said to them, Listen, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if he come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So it was something that brought about a great change, something that was needful for them. It wasn't enough that they had the commandments, the infallible proofs, and heard the things of the kingdom of God. They needed to wait for that promise. And of course, we know that they did wait for that promise. They prayed in that upper room for approximately 10 days or so. And the Spirit of God fell, and a great movement of God happened, and it was the perfect time that God had, and that was a wonderful thing. But now, Brother Pritchett, I'd like to make some application to you briefly. You also have received God's commandments. You've been taught the Word of God long before you ever came to this church. You had good people, a mom, a dad, Sunday school teachers, pastors, youth leaders who taught you the Word of God, who gave you His commandments. Not only that, but the day you were saved, you were born again, the Spirit of God came to live within, and He began to teach you the commandments. And they were not only on the outside, they were not only in God's Word. According to the book of Jeremiah, they were placed in your heart. You have received His commandments, and there are certain things God expects you to do. There are certain things that are not suggestions, they are commandments. And of course, you've been taught those. Not only that, but you have seen the proof of God's reality. I would not dare to say that because of the time that you had sharing with us in ministry here, that you had great examples of God always coming through with miraculous things. I shun to say that because I know as a church and as a pastor, we fall very short of being all that we should be for the Lord and seeing God work in the ways that we would like to see Him work. And it's not His fault, it's our fault. But I will say that we have seen God work in miraculous ways. You and I have, in the 10 years that we've been together, working together, we've seen God answer prayers. We've seen prayers that were prayed in this very auditorium on a Wednesday night where we had people stand up and pray for things that were on their heart, and we've seen miraculous answers to prayer based on what God did. We've seen needs that we've had and situations where we didn't know what to do and God came through, and you have seen proof that God really does work and that He is at work in the world today. You have seen that proof. And then, of course, you've learned much from the Lord. He has taught you, and of course, you've been a student of His Word, and I have enjoyed watching you, Brother Pritchett, grow in your knowledge of God's Word. Not only that, but in your knowledge of how to teach and preach God's Word. And I want you to know you are a good preacher. You're enjoyable to listen to. More than that, you preach God's Word. And I appreciate that very much, and God has taught you that. That's a blessing. But I want you to know that those things that you have had from the Lord are not enough. God is not saying now, okay, you've received my commandments, you've seen proof of my reality, you've heard of me and learned of me, and now go get them. God would say to you, as the Lord Jesus here said to these apostles, that you need His power. You need His power. Now, one of the things that I want to clarify with you, Brother Pritchett, and also to everyone listening here is, as independent fundamental Baptists, and I'm glad that I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, I have no problem with that, and I'm not downing that in any way. But one of the things about being an independent fundamental Baptist is sometimes we have this idea in our head, and I think it's a mistaken idea, of the fact that if I get God's power on me, then my church will grow.
And if I get God's power on me, all I'll have to do is share the gospel with somebody just kind of even off the cuff, and they're going to get saved because God's power is on me. I don't believe that's what Scripture teaches. And that's not the power of God that I'm talking about. Not the power of God so that Brother Pritchett can build himself a kingdom and become well-known around the nation and become a sought-after preacher. We're not talking about that kind of power for a bigger church or a more dynamic ministry. What we are talking about is the power of God to effectively minister in exactly the way that God wants you to minister and to fulfill His plan for your ministry. Because He has a plan for your ministry. And Brother Pritchett, that plan will look different than the plan He has for me. You're not going to be a carbon copy of me, and your church is not going to be a carbon copy of this church, and you're not going to have exactly the same results or plans or whatever. So we're not talking about those things, but you do need God's power. Because if you are going to see God work in the way that He wants to work and fulfill the plans that He has for you, you're going to need His power. His hand needs to be on you. It's not enough to know the things. You need God's power on you. So that leads us then to the next obvious question, which is, how do we get God's power? How do you get God's power? Well, the very first thing I would say to you, Brother Pritchett, is this. Ask Him for it. Ask God for His power. I realize that the verse that I'm going to mention to you does not speak specifically of power, but I believe the application is there, and I think we can very easily make the application. It's James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And then it says, but let him ask in faith. But I want you to notice that even though that, I believe, and you and I understand it, talks about wisdom, yet wisdom comes from the Spirit of God. There's no other place to get wisdom. And I realize the Word of God has wisdom, but even that is written by the Spirit of God. And the only illumination to understand the Word of God is going to come from the Spirit of God. So wisdom comes from the Spirit of God. So it's definitely an application for any kind of power that you would need to be what God wants you to be, to do what He wants you to do. You're going to need His Holy Spirit. And so ask Him for that. Ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And then I would say the second part of this, of how to get God's power, is to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But I wanted to share with you just a couple of things of what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. I don't know that I have, and Brother Pritchett, I know you understand this, I don't know that I have a complete and total grasp on everything that it means to walk in the Holy Spirit, walk in the Spirit. I wish I did. I have some ideas. I think I'm right on them, but I'm constantly asking the Lord to teach me exactly what that means to walk in the Spirit. And I don't think it's anything ethereal. I don't think it's anything magical or supernatural as we would think supernatural. I do think it is very practical. And from what I can tell, from what I see in God's Word and what I believe He's shown me in God's Word, there are a couple of things that are important about walking in the Spirit. And the first one is, for every decision you make, Brother Pritchett, wait on the Lord. Wait on Him for everything. And if I could say to you a little bit of confession in front of everybody here, I don't know that I always taught you that as well as I wish I would have. If I could go back and kind of redo things, I would probably emphasize that more and more. I don't know that that's a strong area in my life. I think it's probably a weak area in my life. It's very easy when confronted with problems to have experience and to think, okay, I know exactly what to do here. Let's just do this, 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 and this. Rather than take the time to stop and say, Lord, teach me. Show me. What is it that you want done here? And Brother Pritchett, I want to encourage you, begin your ministry with that humility to everything, even the decisions you think you know what to do. Pray about them. Seek God. Reminds me of John chapter 15. Let's turn there. John chapter number 15, verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, accepted abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. It's a great reminder that without him you cannot do a single thing. So wait on him for every decision and every step. I would remind you, even in the book of Acts, as we think back to that passage of Scripture, and maybe we should even just turn there, Acts chapter number 1, back where we were as the for our text, I would have you notice, it's just interesting to me and it stands out to me every time I read it, that the apostles, as they had, again, remember, received commandments from the Lord, they saw the infallible proofs, they learned much of him, yet their thinking was wrong. And the proof is, verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Boy, how wrong were they? We would have been too, I'm sure. But how wrong were they? I mean, we are 2,000 years later now, and it's still not restored. And they thought it was going to happen then. And of course, he says to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. And then he says, ye shall be witnesses. So what I want to point out to you there is they waited on him, rightfully so, for every decision, because if it was up to them, they would have attempted to restore the kingdom of Israel. They had in their mind a plan of what God's power meant. Now that he's resurrected, now that he's about to ascend, certainly this is the time that he wants X to be done. But he had a completely different plan. And the coming of the Holy Spirit was going to empower them to do a completely different plan than they thought. And the lesson there for all of us in any kind of ministry is the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. A lot of times we think, if I'll get filled with the Spirit of God, my plans will be accomplished. But the truth of the matter is we need to walk in him and wait on him, because as we wait on him, he'll fill us with his power to accomplish his things, the things he wants done. And again, that may look much different than what you have in your mind, but that's okay. Just fulfill his plan. And then the second part of walking in him is not just waiting on him for every decision, but then obeying him. In every single thing he tells you to do, you must obey. If you're going to have his power, you have to be an obedient servant. Brother Pritchett, that means that sometimes there's going to be some difficult things to do. There's going to be some difficult things to say and difficult decisions to make. And sometimes they'll be easy, and the vast majority of the decisions to make are good, and the church people will love them, and it'll be just fine, and everybody will be glad about them. But there will be some times when, as you follow the Holy Spirit's leading, you're going to have to say some things or do some things that not everyone is going to like. But remember what the Word of God says. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Do what is right, obey God, and trust him with the consequences. Because if you don't, the danger is this. The danger is that God would take his hand off of you. And then really, ministry is worthless. Then there's no point. Then it's just despair. But with God's hand upon you, he will, number one, give fulfillment, but also joy and rejoicing in that. Sometimes that's going to mean that you have to lead your family in a way that they don't necessarily want to go. And you're going to have to say, sweetheart, with the Lord's help, I believe this is what we ought to do, and I've got to obey the Lord. This is where we need to go. This is what we need to do. And there are 100 different examples that I could share with you, and I know you know those, but walk in him means wait on him and then obey him. So as I bring this to a close and we move on with the service, Brother Pritchett, I just want to again mention to you, thank you for your many years of service here. Thank you for your faithful obedience. And I told Wanakee Baptist Church this morning, I want to mention it in front of Madison Baptist Church as well, that you've sowed good seed here. And God's promise is that whatever you sow, you are going to reap. And I believe that God is going to allow you to reap some very good harvest there based on what you did here. And so thank you for that. I appreciate that very much. And I will be rooting for you from over here, praying for you, thinking of you often. And I'm very glad that you're only 20 minutes away so we can still see much of you and pray with you and all of that. But what I'd like to do at this time is just close this with a word of prayer, and then we'll continue on with the service. Heavenly Father, I do thank you very much for this opportunity that you've given us tonight to just look at your word and to share some thoughts with Brother Pritchett about the ministry that you have called him to and the responsibilities that he has. And Lord, I do ask that you would enable him to remember the things that you have taught him, but Lord, even more than that, that you would teach him what it is to walk in the Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would enable him to go far beyond what we have taught him here, what he has learned from me from an example. Help him to go far beyond. And Lord, to be filled with the Spirit, that he could be a teacher for others, that he could be an example even to us, that we could follow his example as he follows Christ. Lord, I pray that you would enable him in that. Bless his ministry there and bless Wanakee Baptist Church. Have your hand upon that place and those people and specifically the Pritchetts as they minister. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that enables us and comforts us and is our helper. Help us to be obedient to him, I pray. Bless the rest of the service in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet at this time, and Brother Taylor's going to come and lead us in another hymn.
Hymn number 292, His Way With Thee, 292.
Time, I'm going to ask Brother and Mrs. Pritchett, if you don't mind, would you both come up, please? I apologize, Becky, I didn't mention that to you, but something that the Lord laid on my heart as we were beginning to kind of clarify the order of events is that we would have a time where the church prays for the Pritchetts. And of course, if you don't mind, I'll allow you guys to just go ahead and have a seat right up there, if you would, please. Just to be up toward the front, that would be wonderful. I appreciate that. But an opportunity for us as a church to pray for them. So in just a moment, we're going to do the very traditional thing of we'll have the deacon board lay hands on Brother Pritchett and pray over him one by one. But before we do that, I thought, you know, this is a church action. This is a church decision. And so I'm going to ask all of us to pray over the Pritchetts and pray for them at this time. And so what I'd like to do is we're all just going to pray silently, okay? Just give you a few minutes to pray for them. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for God's hand of blessing to be on them. We're going to ask for God to anoint them for service and to use them for his honor and glory in a magnificent way. Then we're going to pray that God would protect them physically, spiritually, and emotionally. All right? So you can pray for them in those ways. and you can pray for their children along the same lines. And then pray for Wanakee Baptist Church as well, that God would bless the relationship between pastor and church. So what I'd like is, again, we're all just going to pray silently, but men, if you could pray for Brother Pritchett. And then ladies, could I ask you to focus on Mrs. Pritchett and pray for her and pray for those areas in her life. And she will need that. She'll need that probably more than you know. And so I would ask you to pray over her. And of course, not just tonight, on into the years, continue to pray for them. But I figure as a church, that would be a good thing for us to do right now. So I'll give just a few minutes. And when I feel like we've had enough time, I'll close with a prayer here, and then we'll have the deacons come and lay hands on Brother Pritchett. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, just silently. Lord, we do ask for your blessing on the Pritchetts. We've said that a couple times already, Lord, but we want to ask for some specific things. Lord, for Brother Pritchett, that you would anoint him with power, not to do his own work, but to do yours, to fulfill your plan for him and for his family and for Wanakee Baptist Church. Lord, would you anoint his preaching, make him a powerful preacher. Lord, help him to be able to have the messages come to his mind that you want him to preach as he studies through books, help him and give him understanding in the books of the Bible as he studies and preaches through those. Lord, I pray as well that you would help him, Lord, to have kindness in his preaching and yet firmness. Lord, I ask that you would anoint his preaching in a great way and let it be effective. Give the people ears to hear and help him to speak in such a way that they need to hear. And then, Lord, we do ask for Mrs. Pritchett as well, that you would bless and anoint her for service as she ministers, especially to her husband, but also, Lord, to the ladies of the church and even the children of the church. I pray that you would anoint her with power and blessing. And, Lord, that you would knit her heart with the hearts of those ladies and that she would be able to meet their needs and help them and encourage them and give her a special love for those ladies, we pray. Then, Lord, we ask for your blessing on their marriage. Lord, please protect their marriage during this time of ministry. Because, Lord, we know that Satan will fight them. He will try to put a wedge in between them and cause them to be at odds with one another. Lord, we claim the blood of Jesus Christ over them. And in the name of Jesus, as his children, we resist Satan in obedience to the word of God. For them and their marriage, we ask, Lord, that you would protect them. And then, Lord, would you bless their children as well? Keep them physically safe, we pray. Put a hedge of protection around them and bless them. Lord, I ask that you would do that in a great and mighty way. And, Lord, that you would help their children to grow up to be a man and two women of God, we pray. Thank you, Lord, that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, very good. At this time, I'm going to ask the deacons to come, if you would. And we are going to pray over Brother Pritchett and ordain him into ministry. So we'll use this microphone here. Gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to come, if you would. At this time, I'll stand by the pulpit, and we'll have, doesn't matter who's where, but the three of you kind of come around this way. Brother Pritchett, I'm going to ask you, if you would, just you, we'll let your wife stay there. But if you would stand right here and face the congregation, that would be wonderful. and we will lay our hands on you. I'm going to hand this to Brother Eric. I'm going to let you go first, and then after that will be Clint and then Danny.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to ordain Brother Pritchett. We thank you that you call men into your service. We thank you for calling Brother Pritchett. We thank you for his willingness to follow that calling. Pray that you'd continue to have your hand upon him so that he would be obedient to your will, as Christ was obedient to your will. Pray that you would bless and strengthen and give him grace and endurance and the things that are needed for the ministry there. Pray that you'd help him to not be ashamed of the calling that you have on his life. Pray that you'd help him in studying to be approved, Lord. Pray that you'd help him to not lose the genuine love for people that he has, Lord. Pray that you'd help him in keeping that and in that asset, that unique talent that you've given him. Pray that you'd even expand that for him, Lord. Help him to see the fruit of that, Lord, as you care for people. Pray that you'd help him to care for people. We thank you for the match that you've put between him and Wanakee Baptist Church, Lord. Pray that you would use him to strengthen that church, Lord. We thank you for another church in the area, like-minded in faith, Lord. We thank you that you care for the churches in the area, Lord, and that you didn't want this church to die, that you want that church to be there and the people that are there. And then pray that you'd use Brother Pritchett to accomplish your will there. And pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I just also want to just thank you for this man that stands before me. Thank you for the work you did in his heart and his life when he was a young boy, when he put his faith and trust in you. And I thank you for calling him into the ministry. And Lord, I thank you that he yielded to you and he surrendered his life to do so. Well, Father, as we send him forth to go serve as a pastor, we just ask, Lord, that he would walk with you continually and daily. I ask, Father, that you would help him to yield himself to you and to call upon the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may you give him that power. And Lord, may you give him wisdom. As situations arise in the church he's about to pastor, help him to know how to handle each circumstance. If there's tough decisions that need to be made, help him know how to make those decisions. And even if it's not popular, help him to do what he feels like you would have him to do. And Lord, I just pray that you would encourage him, help him not to be weary in well-doing. And Lord, help him just to continue to walk with you each day, help his family to be supportive. Father, I pray that as Dave was kind of like Pastor Weiss's right-hand man, I pray that you would either raise up a man or send a man to Wanakee Baptist that would be Dave's right-hand man, someone that can encourage him, he can pray with, and they can serve you together, Lord. And Lord, we know that you love him, you have a purpose for him in calling him to Wanakee, and I pray that you'd fulfill that purpose through Dave and just be an encouragement to him and his family. And I thank you for this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I do thank you for Brother David. Thank you for the work that you've done in his life. Thank you most of all for saving his soul, Lord, and the love that you have for him. I thank you, Lord, for bringing him here and crossing paths with this church. He's been a great blessing to not only the church, but me personally, Lord. Thank you for just the fruit of the Spirit that pours through him, Lord, his joy, his peace, his servant attitude, Lord, and his humbleness. I pray that you continue to help him to have those things in his life. Pray that you would continue to have your light shine through him. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to give him a love for people and to soul win. And Lord, I pray that you would also put a hedge of protection around him, Lord, and his family. Protect him and his family from the attacks that will come, Lord, that we know will come. And we know that Satan hates this, and Lord, we just ask that you would protect him and his family. Lord, we ask also that you would help him to be a student of the word. Help him to always grow in wisdom and knowledge of you, Lord, and your word. Help him to stand firmly on the Bible, Lord. Help him to be your mouthpiece, not only in the area, Lord, but specifically at Wanakee Baptist. And we pray for that church, and we thank you for Brother David being willing to go. And we thank you for calling him, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless him and his family again. Help them to do great things for you, Lord, not for their own glory or praise, Lord, but that we would in turn just glorify and praise you, Lord, for the work that you've done. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I agree with these men. I echo what they have asked. Lord, we just ask above all things that in a very powerful way you would anoint Brother Pritchett with your Holy Spirit. We agree with your word that without you, he can do nothing. So, Lord, we are asking you in humility and yet boldness, Lord, that you would anoint him with your Holy Spirit. Lord, work on him, mold him, and make him into what you want him to be. We commit him into your care. We trust that you are able to fulfill the work that you have started in his life. We thank you that you will. Lord, would you bless him and use him greatly. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to have a friendship and Lord, to just be able to be his sending church. We pray that you'd help us to continue to be able to know how to be a blessing and help. And would you put the Pritchetts constantly on our mind in the coming years to remember to pray for them often, that this would not be the last time that we ask for your help for them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate that.
And so you can go ahead and be seated again. And at this time, I'm going to have you stand one more time for a hymn. Brother Taylor's going to come and lead us in our final hymn of the evening.
Hymn number 466, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, 466.
Breathe on me, breath.
You may be seated.
Amen. All right, Brother and Mrs. Pritchett, if you don't mind, I'll have you come up here. And I did not set this up well, but Rebecca, you have your camera. Would you get out your camera? And I'll wait till you have it out. But we wanted to present you with an ordination certificate. Now, this has not been signed yet because when I put it in here, we hadn't officially voted. So we're going to have to get this signed. Otherwise, it's not really real. Because without a piece of paper, no, I'm just teasing. All right. But we do want to present this to you, and again, we'll sign it before you leave. The deacons, we need to sign this, all right? We wanted to present this to you, and we want to congratulate you, and again, thank you for your many years of service, and God bless you, and we will certainly pray for you, and we love you, and Becky, you as well, and we thank you as well for being such a great partner to your husband and help meet for him. You're a blessing, and we love both of you, and so that is for you. And then we have one other thing that the church put together for you, all right? Just
a small gift of appreciation for your years of service. And the church put this together for you, and it is a gift card bouquet. And so hopefully all of your favorites. All right? So Jana, if you would, come on up here, and you can hand that to them if you don't mind. That would be wonderful. All right, very good. Thank you, Jana. I appreciate that. All right, so very good. So here's what I'd like you to do. We're going to go ahead and close in a word of prayer in a minute. But before we do, if you don't mind, Becky, I'll take that back from you, and I'll hold on to it, and we'll put it away safely. I may or may not pocket the ones that I like the most. All right, but if there's any empty sticks, you'll know why, okay? All right, no, but we'll set it over here so that you can be in the foyer there. If you don't mind, would you mind going back, being in the foyer, and folks can shake your hand? And then maybe I'll take that from you as well. We'll make sure that we get that signed. Does that sound good? All right, you guys go ahead, and we'll take care of that here. Let's give them a hand. All right, and if you would, I'm going to have you stand to your feet. Thank you for being here and being a part of this special occasion in our life and the life of our church, and obviously the Pritchetts as well. I certainly thank you for that, Madison Baptist Church. Thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice and your willingness to do all that needs to be done so that we can have an assistant. That is a sacrifice on the church's part financially. And not only that, but just loving and caring for him, and year after year, trying to be a blessing. And you guys have done a good job. And as your pastor, I want to thank you for that and let you know I'm very proud of you as a church. And I love you and appreciate you and very thankful to be your pastor. And I appreciate the fact that you allow me to be your pastor. And I count it a privilege and an honor. And I'm, like I said, just very, very proud of you for all that you've done. As we close with a word of prayer, I'm going to ask Pastor Chris Anderson to close us in a word of prayer right from where you are, Pastor Chris. And then once he's done praying, you are dismissed. By the way, immediately following, we have a time of refreshments downstairs. If you're able to stick around, I believe we have punch and popcorn. All right? So I believe that's what we have down there. And I think there might be coffee in there so as well. So stick around and fellowship with us if you would. But Pastor Chris, would you close?
Lord, it truly is a blessing to be able to be in your house at any appointed service. But Lord, tonight, being able to send Brother David off and ordain him into the ministry, I thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness and his testimony of faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you have counted him faithful and put him in the ministry. And I pray, God, that you would just continue to help him to be the husband you want him to be for his wife, the father for the children, and then, Lord, the pastor for the church that you've called him to. And I pray, God, that you'd help the church that he is at at Wanakee Baptist. Lord, I pray that the people would realize the blessing that they have in Brother Pritchett. And I pray, God, that you would just bless the work that you want to do and give him faithful, many faithful years to serve you. And Lord, I pray that you would, even as Pastor Mike said, put them on our hearts and on our minds regularly to pray for them. As the devil does not like what happened tonight, another man being in called to the ministry and placed in the pastorate, I pray, God, that your hand of protection would be on him. Help him to make wise decisions. And I know, Lord, those might not always be the easiest of decisions, but I pray that you direct him and be his defense, be his shield, be his fortress and that strong tower that you are to so many in Scripture. And I just pray, God, that you bless the time of refreshment and the time of fellowship to follow. In your name we pray these things.